This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Good afternoon, I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. The Supreme Court is allowing a downstate Illinois Republican congressman to sue Illinois for the way it counts mail-in ballots. My colleague Mawa Iqbal reports Illinois U.S. Representative Mike Bost is challenging a state law that permits mail-in ballots postmarked by Election Day to be counted up to 2 weeks after. Bost says that is unconstitutional, and tabulating untimely votes will dilute the weight of the votes he or other candidates receive. Lower courts have held Bost does not have standing to sue, but in a 7-2 decision that did not address the validity of the law itself, the High Court today says Bost can continue his lawsuit. Bost called the ruling a critically important step forward in the fight for fair elections. The U.S. House has passed a spending package to cut $125 million from lead pipe replacement funding. The Biden-era Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act promised to invest $15 billion into replacing lead pipes across the country over 5 years. Illinois U.S. Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy says the EPA was months late to release the promised federal dollars last year and says potential cuts are the wrong move at the wrong time.
Unfortunately, $125 million is not insignificant, and it means that it's just going to take longer for cities like Chicago, as well as communities throughout Illinois, to replace the lead service lines.
And now the Senate must vote on the appropriations bill before the end of the month in order to avoid a partial government shutdown. The city of Chicago is set to pay nearly $1 million to settle another police misconduct lawsuit stemming from 2020 protests against the police murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. My colleague Mariah Wolfel reports the lawsuit is from 21 people who were allegedly pushed, hit in the head, or pepper sprayed by Chicago police in May and July of 2020. City Attorney Caroline Fronczek told the council's finance committee that injuries range from minor scrapes and bruises to concussions and lacerations.
The Department of Law recommends that the city accept this proposed settlement, which was achieved through extensive negotiations with plaintiff's counsel.
If the city council approves the deal, the average payout would come to $41,000 per person. A scathing inspector general's report found Chicago police were under-equipped and unprepared for protests that saw frequent clashes. The Northwestern University men's basketball team hosts the Fighting Illini in Evanston tonight. The Wildcats have had a strong scoring and rebound record this season, something NU head coach Chris Collins is keeping an eye on.
You know, we got to do the best we can to push guys off their spots. They have a lot of guys who can score. That's what makes them tough. It's not one or two guys. You know, they have four or five guys that can all get 20-plus in a game, and they play well off of each other.
The Wildcats have won the last three times the Fighting Illini came to Evanston. You're listening to The Rundown. A new exhibit at the Chicago History Museum documents a long tradition of resistance in Chicago's Latino communities. This includes the daily work of maintaining culture as well as political activism. The exhibit is called Aquí in Chicago, and it's a result of a protest organized by local high school students 6 years ago. Our contributor, Jessica Pupovac, has the story.
It's 2019, and a group of Latino students from an alternative high school in Pilsen have just arrived at the Chicago History Museum. But they haven't come for a tour. They've come with a list of demands.
You ready, bro?
Nervous. Let's do this.
Let's go.
Hi, good morning. We're students from Instituto Justice and Leadership Academy.
This was their second visit that fall. The first time around, they found very little representation of their communities. So they launched a campaign on social media. They demanded a meeting with museum leadership, and it worked.
My name is Monse, and I'm here to stand with and for my people.
Hello, my name is Giovanni Raimundo, and I am 18 years old.
Now, they sat in a meeting room, talking with a senior vice president, several curators, and other staff members. A TV station was there, and their teacher shared this recording.
We did see an exhibit on Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta, but we would like to see more on people in Chicago, because basically this is a Chicago history museum. A lowrider in the front was very stereotypical.
At the time, there was a massive 78 Chevy lowrider in the lobby.
It doesn't represent us as people, and we would like to see a change in that.
Then one of the museum reps asked what it was about the lowrider that bothered them.
So I thought that, you know, having all this amazing history, in my mind, I interpreted it as you covered it up with the lowrider. Does that make sense? Like replacing it with the lowrider, which isn't really even Latinx. It's more of like an LA thing. So like,
I felt this was going to be an exciting journey that also may teach them that change is hard and it might not happen.
Anton Miglietta was their teacher. He's a believer in what's called student-centered learning, where the students help shape their curriculum. And after their field trip, these students wanted to speak out, to write letters, make posters, and start a social media campaign.
But I also thought, wow, I think they just really hit on something way bigger than our class and way bigger than anything we would have done next, and that it's going to be amazing somehow.
At the end of the meeting, museum leadership promised to continue the conversation and do better. It took 6 years of relationship building, development, but the museum kept its promise.
Hi, my name is Elena. I'm the curator of Aki in Chicago.
The Aki in Chicago exhibit recently opened at the Chicago History Museum. I joined lead curator Dr. Elena Gonzalez on a weekday tour.
This is an exhibition that is a response to students from Instituto Justice and Leadership Academy. We, in this exhibition, are saying, this is your history as you stand on these generations of people who've come before you doing that type of work.
It tells the story of how Latino people made Chicago what it is today. Culturally, such as the introduction of the tamale at the 1893 World's Fair. Politically, like the struggle for equal education and how the Harrison High School strikes of 1969 and beyond eventually led to the creation of Benito Juarez High. And socially, including the posters the students from Instituto made and brought with them to that first meeting in 2019.
You know, the students who started this were some of our first interns on the project, but we actually expanded our internship program to include students from across the area. And so they're kind
Nez Castro was one of them.
Well, I hope younger people will also be happy to see themselves, their parents, grandparents in this exhibition. And I hope that it teaches them that, you know, it's possible for you to really go out there, take action, and make something important and new happen.
He said his main takeaway was that Latino people have been here for a long time and that they aren't going anywhere. For WBEZ, I'm Jessica Popovac.
Aki in Chicago runs through November. Weather, a blustery day, some scattered flurries and temperatures steady in the low 20s. And then tonight, blustery, cold, a low in the mid-teens with a wind chill around 1. And then for Thursday, sunny and windy, high in the upper 20s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.